And then now we come to this time. Brother Henry Bennick has started years ago Jewish End Time Ministries. And I was talking with someone recently, and they were talking about Brother Bennick. They met him years ago. And they said now that it's easy to, because this didn't happen, I said, boy, that's going to be a hard ministry to keep up. Thinking that it wouldn't continue on. But it has now for these years. How long ago did God lead you to start in ministry like this?
30 years.
30 years ago. And so we're very grateful for him and the work that he has, God has raised him up to do. And we're certainly thankful. I believe originally from Cleveland, Ohio, up that way, and just a great burden to see people come to the Lord, Jewish folks. But then God has just expanded the scope of ministry so vastly. And what started off as a small little group, the Lord has just magnified, and it's been a wonderful thing to watch over the years. So I don't want to take time to take away from him. I'm going to ask Brother Henry Bennick to come on up, and he's got some video I believe he'll show sometime through the presentation, but he's going to preach to us as well. And I'm just thankful that God has allowed us to be his supporter. I'm glad that God has worked it out so he could be here with us tonight, and I know that you're going to be blessed. Brother Henry, thank you again for being
thank
at Buffalo
you.
Ridge. We're
you.
Certainly thankful for you.
A little hesitant to get up here and speak, but after that young man sang, if he can get up here and sing that song, any one of us could get up here and do it, could do this. So, but it's my turn tonight, and I'm so thankful again for Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church and for your kindness to me over these many years. I count you as a very good, wonderful, faithful church, and we love you and appreciate you so much. The Apostle Paul is kind of an inspiration to me in a lot of ways, because I know I'm not the Apostle Paul, but there's a lot of things the Apostle Paul did that somehow I've imitated and had a lot of the same results. I find it hard to believe what God has done, but I want to share something that the Apostle Paul said tonight and try to magnify what that is. And then share a little bit about what God has done in my life and in our ministry over these years. So if you have your Bible, turn to Romans chapter 11 and verse 7. We'll start there. The Bible says, "What then? Israel hath not obtained what which he seeketh for, but the election hath obtained it, and the rest were blinded. According as it is written, God hath given them the spirit of slumber, eyes that they should not see, and ears that they should not hear unto this day. And David saith, let their table be made a snare and a trap and a stumbling block and a recompense unto them. Let their eyes be darkened that they may not see and bow down their back away. I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid. But rather through their fall, salvation is come unto the Gentiles." Amen? Any other Jewish people, maybe one or two? Because of their fall, God has allowed you to hear and know the gospel of Jesus Christ. It says, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid, but rather through their fall, salvation has come unto the Gentiles, for to provoke them to jealousy. Now, if the fall of them be the riches of the world, and the diminishing of them the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? For I speak to you, Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify mine office. Greatest missionary to the Jewish people was also an apostle to the Gentiles. In most of the letters to the churches, he shares with them that Jewish people should have a relationship with Jewish people and how that relationship should take place. And he makes it clear in the gospel to the Jew first, the Bible says in Romans 1:16. And he makes it clear that both Jews and Gentiles are under sin, Romans 3:9. And even though the Jews rejected the gospel, the Gentiles still owe a debt to the Jewish people, for they've contributed to the spiritual world, according to Romans chapter 11. Paul knew the Gentiles were going to share the gospel with the Jewish people, and so he urges them in a number of ways to have a relationship with Jewish people. Now, tonight I want to share with you, I am not a Gentile. I was raised in a Jewish home in Cleveland, Ohio, as the pastor said. I grew up in a time where there's a lot more snow than there is today. And so on Saturday morning when I had to get up, my parents told me it's time to go to the synagogue. We were members of an Orthodox synagogue, so I had to walk to the synagogue. You're not allowed to do any work from Friday night sundown till Saturday night sundown. And such things you can't do. You can't turn on a light. You can't open a lock. You can't cook. You can't start a fire. So because of that, you can't drive your car because you're lighting the gasoline in your engine. So in order to get to the synagogue, you have to walk. So I'd walk to the synagogue in the morning, 8 o'clock in the morning, walk in the wintertime, cold. I tell my kids I had to walk back and forth to school, uphill both ways. And I know you probably said that too. You reminded them how terrible things are when you were young. And the service lasted till 1 o'clock in the afternoon, and then I'd walk back home. And then when I was 8 years old, my parents told me, now, Henry, you're going to have to go to Hebrew school to prepare for your bar mitzvah. When you're 12 years old, bar mitzvah means son of the commandment. I'd be a man in the Jewish religion. And so I began going to school all day long. I have to confess to you, there's not many young people, so I don't want to make them think anything, but I was not a good student. I didn't study very well. I didn't study at all, probably. And I just thought it just all comes to you by itself without studying. And consequently, I got bad grades. I had to go to summer school every year. But then after school, I had to go to a playground at the school and wait for a bus to come and take me to Hebrew school from 4 o'clock in the afternoon till 7 o'clock at night. So I was all day in school and then at night for Hebrew school. And then I was preparing for my bar mitzvah when I was 13 years of age. This year, I will celebrate. Boy, I had to think about this. This year, I'll celebrate 60 years since I had our bar mitzvah. You can calculate the years, how old I was then by now. And so when I got up there to have my bar mitzvah, I had to sing two chapters in Genesis, because in Hebrew, the letters actually have tonal sounds, vocal sounds. And so I got up and sang my bar mitzvah, and now I'm a man in the Jewish religion. My parents said to me, okay, Henry, you're a man. What do you want to do now? You can do whatever you think is right. I said, I don't want to go back to Hebrew school. I don't want to go back to the synagogue. And so that was the end of that. Well, what do you want to do? I don't know yet. I'm not sure what I want to do. So I kind of was living life as it came. I did a few stupid things as I was a boy, a few things as a teenager. I did a couple things wrong. One of the things I did was I built a Harley-Davidson motorcycle in my parents' basement, and then I realized the only way to get the Harley-Davidson out of the house was to ride it out of the basement and out of the house. And so I got it on the steps. I started it up. I did something wrong, and the motorcycle shot up the stairs and out the door. Unfortunately, I hadn't opened the door yet. And so my mother said, there's something wrong with this boy's brain. And so she took me to a psychologist. I don't remember all that he said, but I remember asking my mother, how much does this man charge? She said, $25 an hour. I thought, $25 an hour? You know, that's fantastic. I decided young that I wanted to be rich. I had this abnormal desire. And I'm not sure if this is true of all Jewish people, but I wanted to be a millionaire. And so I didn't know how you go about doing it, but so when she said, psychologist, $25 an hour, I decided I would become a psychologist. So when I graduated from high school, I studied in the university psychology, all the techniques of Carl Jung and Sigmund Freud and behavior modification, and I followed through the education. At the end of the education, when I finished school, for some reason, I just decided I don't want to be a psychologist. Now, before you think that I still have something wrong with my brain, let me assure you, I do. But no psychologist. Movie star. Millions of dollars. I can be an entertainer. One look in the mirror ended that. Someone said to me, Henry, you have a great face for radio. And so I decided I would become a radio announcer after visiting a radio station one night, hearing this disc jockey screaming on top of these rock and roll records, and I loved music. And so after going to the radio station one day, I decided I'd become a radio announcer. So I went to broadcasting school. I got my first job in a small town in southern West Virginia, a town called Welch. Maybe you've heard of that, way deep down in the coal fields. And here I am from flat Cleveland, down way down in the mountains. Worked there for 18 months and then went back to my hometown of Cleveland and then to Columbus, Georgia, Montgomery, Alabama, and then to a small town in Alabama called Alexander City. Now, all this time, I really did not have any desire to be involved in any kind of organized religion. I wasn't really interested in Judaism anymore. I knew a little about Christianity because my parents told me, stay away from those people, cross the street, walk on the other side of the street if you see someone you think is a Christian. But I, you know, when your parents tell you don't do something, what do? You do it. So I began to watch movies about Jesus, the greatest story ever told, and the King of Kings, and you know how around Easter time I was always interested in that. And so I knew about Jesus, and I kind of believed that maybe he was the Messiah, but there was no, I dare not accept him. I didn't know what it meant to accept him. I never went to a church. Well, I got involved with a group that they told me that whatever you want to do, you can get anything you want if you do what we tell you to do. I said, okay, what do you do? He said, you can become one with the universe. Get a cardboard box, paint it black on the outside, red on the inside, put this scroll, Japanese scroll inside, and take these beads and chant this chant over and over again, and you can get anything you want. So I got the box, I painted it, put the scroll inside, and I chanted, money, 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 money. At the end of 1 year, I got absolutely nothing. That didn't work. So here I was. Now I'm a rock and roll disc jockey in different places. I'm in Alabama. And on a Saturday morning, the phone rings at my house. The woman says, Mr. Smith? I said, no, wrong number. She calls back, Mr. Smith? No. Third time she calls back, Mr. Smith? And I was exactly in the position, Pastor, that you were talking about the people get when they get in the flesh. I was getting angry. I said, ma'am, that's not my name. She kindly woman said, sir, I'm sorry to bother you, but since I have, I'd like to invite you to come to our church tomorrow, the Alexander City Baptist Tabernacle, and hear two women give their testimony about being in a group called the Moonies. It was kind of a cult. And I was interested in kind of Eastern religion and things like that, and so I said, I'll go. So the next day, I went to the church, first time I'd ever been in church in my life. I had a beard and mustache, had this hair, curly hair, you can't see it now, but a big curly hair about that tall, that people call afro. I called it a Jufro. I had this big Jufro. Ask me later, I'll show you a picture of it. And so I walked in, and the people looked at me like, what in the world just walked in here? And I was just enjoying myself. People were paying attention to me. I was a disc jockey in that city. And I was having a great time until the preacher started preaching. And then he preached that Jesus of the Messiah of the Old Testament was the Jesus of the New Testament. And that he died and he shed his blood. And I, God began to grip my heart. And I thought, it's true. And that morning I went forward in the service and I said, I want to be saved. I've never done it before. Praise the Lord, I've never done it since. It was a wonderful day. God changed my heart. I went home. I looked in the mirror. I didn't like the way I looked, so I shaved, cut my Jufro off, had a short haircut, went back to church on Wednesday night, and they didn't recognize me. I could have been the first person saved twice in the same week. It was wonderful. A few weeks later, God began to really deal with my heart and say to me, you know, Henry, since you heard this and know this, the truth, there's got to be millions of Jewish people around the face of the earth that need to hear the same story you heard. And within 3 weeks, God, I believe, called me to be a missionary to my own people. He sent me off to Bible school at Tennessee Temple University and then back up to Cleveland, Ohio to serve there. 80,000 Jewish people to minister to them. We started a church, had a wonderful ministry. Everything was going along smoothly until one morning, a man called me and said, I want to meet you for breakfast. I said, okay. He showed me some and talked to me about how there were thousands of Russian and Ukrainian Jews leaving Russia and Ukraine and going to Israel and America. And they were going through Italy. They'd go to Italy. They were processed by the American government and the Israeli government, and then they would come. But he said there was places where there were 2,000, 4,000 Jewish people just waiting to come to the States, and nobody was ministering to them. And so that morning, I just believed that God wanted me to go to Italy to minister to these Jewish people. I went, found out amazingly, it's amazing. I'll to give you a quick story. We were the first night out, and we went to a Catholic courtyard, a big square, and there's about 2,000 Jewish people. Now, in Cleveland, Jewish people, they're not that receptive. They'd take my tract, they'd spit on me, they'd rip the tracts up, they'd do all kinds of things. They're very violent sometimes. And so here I am in Italy, standing in this Roman Catholic courtyard with 2,000 Jewish people standing there, and I'm wondering, Lord, am I coming back from this? They said, learn a couple words. Learn Biblia, Bible, Nova Zavet, New Testament. And I learned it, and so we're standing there waiting. We're going to hand out material, and I see some children come running over to where we are, And they said, well, you know, what do you have? What are you doing? I said, we have Bibles, Biblia, Biblia. And all of a sudden, they ran back. All of a sudden, it looked like, this is 1990, it looked like the entire 2,000 people were running to where we were. And I was thinking, Lord, unto thy hands I commit my soul. But much to my surprise, they said to me, we'd like to know how to become a Christian. We'd like to know about Jesus Christ. I was shocked. I found out that many of them were moving to my city of Cleveland because then they were allowing 50,000 of these people come to the major cities of America. And so when I got back home, I started a ministry to the Russian Jews and Ukrainian Jews. We'd have 40, 50 people in our living room have Bible studies. It wasn't long before someone said, Bennick, you go over there, go to Russia. I didn't know if it meant round trip, one way, whatever. But I said, okay, I'll go. I went to Kiev, met some teachers in their school, and they took an interest in what I had to say. One particular teacher said, come back, and we'll invite all our friends, and you can share with them what you share with us about Jesus. I said, okay. So over the summer, we developed it a little bit more. We decided I would print up flyers. I'd go out on the streets, hand them out, invite people to come to a hall that I would rent and speak to them. So it got bigger and bigger as time went by. The first night of our meetings, we rented a hall that sat 850 people. To my amazement, there were 1,250 people. The next night, there were more. The next night, the third night, we had to rent another hall and have show the Jesus film. And we gave everybody a Bible and asked them to fill out decision cards and said, for the first time in my life, I'm trusting Jesus as my Savior. And hundreds and hundreds filled out these cards. And here I have a stack of decision cards like this. And I'm saying, Pastor Herdman, can you go follow up on these? It's just amazing. Big stacks of paper like this. And so this is wonderful. Let's do it again. Did it again. Had more people. The third time, I rented a sports coliseum that was a site of the 1980 Olympics. And we had 15,000 people each night in those halls and giving out Bibles and preaching and giving decision cards and people raising their hands. I mean, thousands. I can honestly say from 1990 until 2015, or 2005 rather, we probably saw 120,000 people make professions of faith. Now, it was not me. I don't want you to think that anything that happened was as a result of me. Nothing that has happened in my ministry is a result of Henry Bennick, as far as I'm concerned. That's why I think we ought to go soul winning, because it's not our power that gets people saved. It's his power that gets people saved. I was just the servant. I'm there going along for the ride. I'm just going watching, a spectator. And we went to the Ukraine. In the very beginning, it was so wide open. People were just taking gospel tracts like crazy. But by 2005, democracy and economic conditions had made it to the point where nobody was coming to the meetings. And we decided we're going to stop doing this. But meanwhile, 2 years before that, a friend of mine said, Henry, why don't you come to Cuba? And I had no idea of going to Cuba. Why would I want to go to Cuba? I'm in the Ukraine. He said, you need to come here. There's Jewish people here. I said, oh, well, okay, I'll let you know. I'll think about it. The next year, he asked me again, come to Cuba. I said, I don't know. Finally, he convinced me I should go to Cuba. And he said, there's 2,500 Jewish people here. Nobody's ministering to them. I said, okay. So I went down there. Here I am. I land in Havana. What do I do now? Well, I figured I ought to do the same thing the Apostle Paul did when he got there. So on Saturday morning, I just went to the synagogue, walked in the synagogue, and was there to watch. One of the men came up to me. He said, Henry, he said, are you a Jew? I said, yes. He goes, are you from the tribe of Levi? I said, I believe I am. That's what my grandparents always told me, and I verified it later through DNA testing. Come up here, he says, and read the morning prayer. What? I'm in the synagogue. I'm a Christian, and he wants me to come up and read the morning prayer in the synagogue. Okay, I did. We got to meet the people, and we met. Went to another synagogue and started meeting, and we've had a wonderful relationship with these synagogues. In fact, as a result of what we've done down there in Cuba, we've seen many, many, honestly, many Jewish people saved. One man, we went to go visit him, and they have kind of block houses. They're not separated. They're all connected together. So we were going to visit this older man, and we got to his house, knocked on the door. He wasn't there. So we walked around, witnessed a little bit to some other people. On our way back, we came back, And I looked in a door that was open, and here was this Jewish man and another man, and the Jewish man was cleaning up feathers from a chicken that the man had just sacrificed to the devil. There's a lot of demon worship, a lot of devil worship. And he just sacrificed a chicken to the devil. So he comes out. His name is Isaac. I said, can we talk with you for a while? We go in his apartment, go up the stairs. He's got an apartment, no ceiling. I mean, it's wide open. I think, oh, my goodness, what if it rains? And so we talked to Isaac. I talked to Isaac for a few minutes. I said, Isaac, do you know that you're a sinner? He said, oh, no, I've never sinned. I said, well, I'm going to tell you something, Isaac. You just sinned. He says, what do you mean? He said, you were down there sacrificing an animal to the devil. The Bible says in the first of the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not have any other gods beside me. And you were worshiping, helping this man worship another god, God, the devil. And in about 10 or 15 minutes, I was able to lead Isaac to the Lord. He became a faithful church member. And that's how it's gone there. We've been able to lead many Jewish people to the Lord. And it's been a wonderful occasion. 10 years ago, my wife of 42 years passed away from cancer. And I wish I had the time to tell you all the details about how God brought my wife Victoria into my life. It's an unbelievable story. It's just one of those stories that if I told it to you, you might not even believe it. But God brought me a wonderful Ukrainian woman who has a love for the Lord. I'm going to embarrass her. I'm not going to ask her to come up. I'm not going to ask you to come up and speak. But she has a wonderful love for the Lord, and she has a love for women. And just a few years ago, we started a ministry called Showers of Blessing. And we go down to Cuba. We have large meetings. We bring people in to come into this place to have a baby shower. We bring tons of baby clothes that I sit outside a Burlington coat factory for 3 hours while she collects all these clothes, and we bring them to Cuba. You're welcome to help me if you want to bring these clothing to Cuba. And then we go out and find all these pregnant women on the street, and there are a lot. And so we invite them to come to a meeting on Saturday. We give them gifts. They play games. And then Victoria speaks to them. And we usually have at least 100, 150 pregnant women there with their children. Their baby carriages are lined up outside of the church, like looks like Walmart shopping carts ready to go. And then Victoria shares the gospel and gives an invitation. We've had, hundreds and hundreds of women come to know the Lord. And then in the churches, we have a meeting Sunday morning, Sunday afternoon, Sunday night, and Friday and Saturday, have preachers come. And really, just God has blessed. 3 weeks ago, we had an outreach in Cuba with a baby shower. On Sunday morning, at the very end of a video I'm about to show you right now, Sunday morning, I preached. And at the end of the message, I gave an invitation, and 25 people walked forward. What an amazing thing. And sometimes when you're up here speaking, you can think of other things. And so I was thinking as they're coming down, Lord, this is so amazing. I can't believe all these people coming down. Thank you for bringing them. It wasn't my great message because it wasn't. But see, 25 people saved. And we've done that now since 2005. We've started 5 new churches. We have, hopefully, an opportunity to start 50 more house churches in Cuba. And God has allowed us to see many, many people saved. So if you want to show the video now, this was 2 weeks ago in right outside a suburb of Havana.
Pastor Angel. He's one of our partners in the ministry, a church planner and a great pastor, pastoring a couple of churches in the middle center of Cuba, and he is always with us in our events. We've been blessed to be here in this event, Henry, right?
Oh, this has been unbelievable. It's more than I ever imagined. This has been a fantastic week. We've seen, hundreds of missionaries. We were blessed with almost 100 missionaries that came from the seminary.
just to help us. And while they were out on the street witnessing, we have a baby shower going on.
Necesitan las madres que están, no sé, en situaciones, y el Señor las trajo hasta aquí para que pudieran entender esto.
Estoy muy contenta de que Dios haya pensado en Cuba precisamente para venir a extender su reino. Estoy muy agradecida con él, y que otras provincias, por supuesto, conozcan también de este mensaje, y es muy bueno.
El evento me pareció de gran bendición. Gracias a Dios por este momento.
We had a wonderful baby shower. I can express my joy and my happiness because we had full church, full with babies and moms, and it was a wonderful time. Many of them heard gospel and raised hands. It means they accept Jesus. And we're praising God and very thankful for everybody who prayed for us, who support us, who helping us do this ministry. And your reward in heaven will be great because many precious souls came to know Jesus. Thank you, dear friends. God bless you.
And then every day, our team from Mississippi has been out on the street, and we have been witnessing and seeing people saved. And then in the evening services, people saved. This has been, you know, it never ceases to amaze me how every time we come here, we see hundreds of people saved. I don't know how many people we've seen.
Well, for the first 2 days, we have seen over 300 people saved. We're just coming back from the street, so winning, visiting people, knocking on doors, inviting people to take a decision for Christ, and we have seen over 300 people. So I'm grateful for the team from America who came, the team from Cuba, the team from interpreters and pastors and people who've been all collaborating on this event. It's been a tremendous event, Henry. Thank you for all you've done.
Oh, praise the Lord, not me. I just like to encourage those that are watching this video to come go with us to go on one of these mission trips, because it's a life-changing event that will just open your eyes to the great need of this country of Cuba for the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're just blessed to see all these people saved. I want to encourage people to come with us and join with us as we do this evangelistic outreach here in Cuba.
Yes, in our background, you'll see the church, the Baptist Church in Capri, where we're holding this event. Every night we're preaching the word of the Lord. Today we have a baby shower with over 150 pregnant ladies with baby boys, and it's been a tremendous blessing. But we always said we need of your help. We need people to come to help us and to help us to spread the word of the Bible all around Cuba. Again, so grateful for all the team that have come from America. And like we always said, come help us.
Come help us.
And I want to extend that invitation to you folk as well, because this is a great opportunity for someone who wants to go on a mission trip. It's not that far. It's actually 90 miles off the southern Florida coast. Fly right into Havana. We have vans. We have everything is safe. There's no problem down there. We actually get religious visas from the Cuban government to preach there. So we have an opportunity to preach in churches and in different places. And so I want to invite you to come go with us to Cuba, because if you have an interest, please share with me after the service. And young, old, makes no difference. It is a wonderful opportunity, especially you ladies, you know, come and help Victoria in these baby showers. It's a great blessing. I think you'd enjoy it. But as I said quickly, I am not a Gentile. But if I were a Gentile, here's what I would do. I'd provoke the Jews to jealousy. How do you do that? Well, it's hard to make most Jews jealous because already they mostly have everything you do. Materially, they may even have more. Jews are great business people, as you already know. In fact, there was a teacher that invited her students to tell who was the greatest philosopher of all times, and whoever was the greatest philosopher, whoever told that story, who the greatest philosopher was, would win $20. So a young black youth said, "I believe it was Martin Luther King. He's the greatest philosopher. So thank you very much." A little girl said, "Well, I believe it's the Pope. He's a great philosopher," young Catholic girl. Young Jewish boy asked him, "Sammy, who do you think was the greatest philosopher of all times?" The young boy, without hesitation, said, "I believe the greatest philosopher was Jesus Christ." The teacher was shocked. The young Jewish boy saying, "Jesus Christ." Later on, she said, "Here's your $20, Sammy, but I just have to ask you a question. You're Jewish. Why did you say that Jesus Christ was the greatest philosopher?" The young boy said, "Well, actually, I thought it was Moses, but business is business." He got the $20, and so great business people. But, you know, what can you do? What can you have that would make a Jewish person jealous? I'll tell you what it is. It's the peace of God. They need the peace of God. They don't have the peace. That's the call for today, for the Jew. Peace, peace, but there is no peace. No matter where they go, they have no peace. Just look at Israel today. No peace. And there won't be any peace until the Prince of Peace comes. So if you want to have true peace, I tell you, ladies and gentlemen, the only way to have true peace is to know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. You may be here tonight, and you don't have peace in your life, and you're wondering, what is life all about? I'll tell you, you can do the same thing I did many, many years ago and found out that the greatest peace comes from knowing the Prince of Peace, and when he comes and dwells in your heart and gives you great peace. Are you looking for peace and maybe not finding it? Well, I also believe we have to be living out Jesus before other people. Many Jewish people may say, "Well, if that's what a Christian is, I don't want to be one." Don't let that be you. But if they see something real, true living, a right attitude, love and peace and generosity, they say, "Why don't I have this? This is what I want." Now you've created godly jealousy. You provoke them to jealousy. Now, quickly, if I were a Gentile, I'd dispel all forms of anti-Semitism. That is the number one problem in the world today, anti-Semitism. Turn on any news channel, you'll see what's going on around the country in Christian college, not Christian college, but in colleges and different places. There is anti-Semitism rampant. Oh, it's okay for them to persecute the Jews, but for the Jews to respond after 1,400 people are killed, it's not okay. That's beyond my belief. The devil hates Israel, and he wants to destroy. Why? Because God has made unbreakable promises to Abraham concerning his seed and concerning the people of Israel. And anti-Semitism is a cancer that has never been cured. Who would think, and we know what's going to happen during the tribulation period, that given another final solution to eradicate the memory of Israel off the face of the earth. From the river to the sea, they say. You know what that means? Kill all the Jews and remove them from Israel. Never again is the cry of the modern day Jew. Do it again is the cry of the modern day anti-Semites and will be the cry during the great tribulation period. I know what it's like to experience anti-Semitism, but I'll tell you that we ought to do everything we can to love the Jewish people, to care for the Jewish people, to show our appreciation for the Jewish people. And there's some today that say, Jews don't have to be saved. They're under a covenant relationship with God. No, the Bible says, he said, "My heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is they might be saved." They need to be saved. God has given me the opportunity to see many Jewish people saved, but he's also, as I shared with you tonight, given me the opportunity to see many Gentiles saved. And I thank the Lord for the opportunity. I don't deserve it. I'm just thankful for that. We'll return to Cuba the end of April, and then the entire month of July we'll be doing ministry in Cuba. My wife, Victoria, will be traveling to Ukraine week after next, and she'll be there a month. We've traveled to Ukraine, as I shared with you this morning, a couple of times now, last year during the war, and it's a pitiful, sad situation there. So many young men being killed needlessly. And so we try to provide, and for the last 2 years, by the grace of God and because of financial help from churches just like this, we've been providing at least $5,000 a month of humanitarian aid to the Ukrainian people. We've helped people with food. We've helped military men with uniforms. We've done everything we can to help people in great need. And we're planning in June to do a medical outreach with a team there that'll come in, bring doctors, treat the people, and then we'll be able to preach to them at the same time. So we've got a lot going on, and appreciate your prayers for that. Share the gospel with Jewish people if you can. I believe that you don't have to be Jewish. There's a curiosity by Jewish people why Gentiles have a love for them. There's cities around America that have no witness to the Jews, and Jews are going to hell without Christ. My grandmother, my grandfather, my father said to me, "I'll never believe that Jesus is God," and 3 days later, he died. I'm not a Gentile, but if I were, I'd not forget the Jew. Behind the veil that hides the Lord from our poor human sight, he stands and sees with pitying eyes the Jews in sorry plight, hated, despised, insulted, beaten, and murdered too. They were his brothers when on earth, for Jesus is a Jew. I think if it was important enough for God to choose the Jewish people, then it'd be important for us as believers in him to minister and care and pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall prosper that love thee. Heavenly Father, thank you for this night. Thank you for these people. Thank you for this wonderful church that has been so kind and been a blessing to our family and allowed us to do so much for you. Bless them. I know you have. Continue to bless. And we'll thank you for all that you're doing now. In Jesus' name I pray. And Pastor, you come.
Amen. Thank you so much. And I'm going to ask us just to have a time of church prayer. The Bible says that we are supposed to be praying for the peace of Jerusalem and praying for the Jewish people. And as Brother Benick had mentioned, God used the Jewish people. Of course, our Savior, humanly speaking, a Jew. And he's not done yet. You read the scriptures, he's not finished yet, then he's got a plan all the way through. So I'm going to ask you to stand as the ladies come to play something, and you either want to come maybe pray around the altar, and it's a good time for our church family just to pray for the peace of Jerusalem, pray for the Jewish people, and pray ultimately, as Brother Benick said, that Jewish folks would turn to Jesus Christ. And you want to pray there in your seat, pray up here as they play something softly through. This is our chance as a Christian organization, as a Christian church, to pray and say, Lord, may your people, your chosen people, turn to faith in Jesus Christ. It's only the next step. It's they are the people that God used throughout these ages. We just need to see them one by one by one come to faith in Jesus Christ. Let's pray together. Maybe just sit there and make an altar out of your pew. Let's pray, and then we'll come back in a little bit and close us. And you pray. Maybe you're here tonight, Jew, Gentile, doesn't matter on that regard, but you need to be saved. If that's you this evening, you'd like for somebody to show you from the scriptures how you can be certain heaven's your home, Jesus Christ is your Savior, would you step out and come and let us take the Word of God and show you that? thank you. May look this way. It's a joy to have Brother Benny here. I'm going to ask you to be seated and just share a couple of things that as they close the live stream down, Rick, let me know when they do that. As you think about the things that Brother Benny presented, we really do need to take it as our mission to pray for the Jewish folks. Pray that they would individually see the light. Now, we know the end times, what will happen, and as all of the things happen, we understand that God has a plan for all that, but we've got to realize that individually now we need to see Jewish folks do just like Brother Henry Bennick did. Take that knowledge and see how it connected right on through and who Jesus Christ is. And so as we think about that, let's pray. But then let's also do more than just pray as you take the invitation that he had given about the trip to Cuba. Maybe God has financially positioned you and schedule you're able to get it worked out.